Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Dudes in a Kitchen with Tyler Florence
and Wells Adams, an iHeartRadio podcast. All right, time for another episode of Two Dudes in a Kitchen. It's Wells Adams hanging out with you and Tyler Florence over in San Francisco. I'm sorry that you no longer are in Hawaii. That must be tough for you.
So sad to be back. God, do I love having a restaurant in Hawaii. It's kind of amazing.
Well, I'm actually in Dallas right now. I'm playing in a golf tournament called the Invited Celebrity Classic. It's at Las Colinas Country Club, and I'm playing with the Champions Tour. So like all the amazing golfers that you grew up watching, the John Daly's, the Fred Couples, Bernard Langer, all those guys are playing, and they let me play alongside them, which is dangerous, I think, but also so very much fun. So if you're in the Dallas area and you want to come hang out, come over to Las Colinas, walk along with us, and see me try not to hit patrons with a golf ball.
How wild is John Daly?
Very, very wild.
I mean, just like the guy just has, he has no F's to give at all whatsoever, does his own thing. You know,
he's got a
meme. There's memes between like the photographs of like him and Tiger Woods, and he's like sitting there like smoking a cigarette.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and Tiger looks all buff.
Yeah. Well, he's got a great story. He's got a great story of, you know, after a round, he's, you know, having drinks with the other players, and Tiger walks by and he goes, "Hey Tiger, come sit down and have a drink with us." And he goes, "No, I got to go back out to the range. Got to work on some stuff." And then, you know, 3 hours later, Tiger comes back in and he says, "Okay, well, come have a drink with us." And he goes, "No, I got to go to the gym. I got to work out." And then, you know, 2 hours later, he's still sitting there drinking, and he's leaving the gym and he's going home. He's like, "Tyra, come have a drink." He goes, "No, I have to get some sleep." And he said, it's something to the effect of, "John, if I had your talent, I wouldn't have to do all this stuff."
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, he's raw, just great golfing talent. And he just kind of lives his own life. He's such an interesting character. Well, that's cool, bro. But so, listen, Dallas is awesome. Pecan Lodge, if you want, like, if while you're there,
yeah,
some of the best barbecue in Texas, hands down.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta go get that.
That's I'll delicious. Go check that out.
Yeah. And Dean Farring is an amazing chef in Dallas. If you need restaurant recommendations or reservations, holler at your boy.
All right. I'm going to go do that.
Right on.
We were just speaking about John Daly, who is a legend. Speaking of legends, we've got one on the show today in Josh Shearer. Like, this is going to be such a fun episode. I don't know if you guys out there have ever watched the Mythical Programming on YouTube, but this guy is a food content creator. He's a podcast host. He is a best-selling cookbook author. He's got a new podcast and show called Last Meals out right now, where he just talks to like celebrities about their last meal. He's got a podcast called A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, which we love very, very much. And we agree with him on that. and the new Mythical Cookbook is out as well. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, this is an episode you do not want to miss. Josh Shearer right here on Two Dudes in the Kitchen.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're excited about today's guest. If you've ever watched any of the Mythical programming on YouTube, you know what we'll be dealing with today. Josh Shearer is an acclaimed chef, food content creator, podcast host, best-selling cookbook author, and so much more. Shearer is the executive director of culinary content at Mythical Entertainment. He hosts the hit show Last Meal with iconic celebrities including Tom Hanks, Post Malone, Jason Kelsey, and so much more, and co-hosts a Hot Dog is a Sandwich podcast, man after our own heart right there.
Is the timing just perfect on this or what?
Perfect, man. On March 11th, it's highly anticipated, the Mythical Cookbook, 10 Simple Rules for Cooking Deliciously, Eating Happily, and Living Mythically came out, and he's here to tell us all about it. Please welcome to Two Dudes in the Kitchen, Josh Shearer.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
Hey, bro. How are you, Josh?
Good, good, good. How you doing?
I'm good.
Well, Josh, we're so happy to have you on the show. Thank you for being on Two Dudes in a Kitchen. I was just doing your intro before we let you in, and a lot of the things that we want to talk to you about, we're very excited about. But I think most excited, at least myself, is your podcast, which is called A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, which is a debate that we've had many times here on this show. And I don't know if you're familiar, Josh, but there's like this kind of like... artist that does famous people on sandwiches.
Yeah.
And my wife is on a BLT and I'm on a hot dog, which a lot of people were very upset about. So tell me, Josh, you truly believe a hot dog is a sandwich?
Not only do I believe a hot dog is a sandwich, I know a hot dog is a sandwich. And I use the term no very deliberately because I spoke with a Cartesian metaphysicist, a professor of philosophy from UCLA.
I don't know what any of those words
mean.
This guy did, and that's what's important. I spoke to this dude. He is a hot dog
walking to a bar, right?
Dude has a long beard down to here, and he was very seriously talking about the epistemological implications of sandwichhood, and that was awesome. And this guy, he would not out outright say that a hot dog is a sandwich because philosophers talk like leprechauns with like riddles. But I feel like I know intrinsically that a hot dog is a sandwich. It is bread. It is nutritive, substantive, filling. It has to be. And I get that hot dogs are special. And you talk to anybody who owns a hot dog restaurant and they're like, hell no, it's not a sandwich. But, you know, they're coming from a biased perspective.
Yeah.
Well, a couple episodes ago, I brought forth, Tyler, my theory, my my theos on food in general, which was met by a lot of anger from our listeners and from our wonderful and handsome host, Tyler Florence, that there are really only three foods in the world.
Let's just say it was a bunch of head scratches. I don't know if it was anger. People were like, what?
I think a lot of people liked it, though. And so, and I, Josh, I bet you've heard of this theory. I stand by it. And there are only three foods in this world. There are soups, there are salads, and there are sandwiches. And every food can, and every kind of like menu item can be divvied up into those three. One, have you heard of this theory? And two, if you have, how do you feel about it?
I have. I find it very compelling. I think that the world is chaos and we need to try and form meaningful categories around it. And I think what we're ultimately talking about with the soup, salad, sandwich theorem is that you have fork foods, you have spoon foods, you have hand foods.
Oh,
right? It's all about that. The vessel getting it into your mouth.
There you go. There you go. Interesting.
That's a whole different way of looking at it.
Okay. Wells just had a light bulb moment.
I've never heard it so succinctly put. And my mind is absolutely blown. Continue on.
You look like the mind blown emoji right now.
I also think that we should ban forks, though. We did a whole podcast episode about it. I'm very anti-fork.
Why do you want to ban a fork? What did it ever do to you?
Well, so the Church of England actually banned forks for a couple hundred years. They thought it was dead true. Not just that I look like I'm in a church right now, but they thought that forks were against God because God already gave us hands. Mm-hmm. But it has to do with like Italian papal politics. The fork is so new to human history. It's like not until the 1500s that it really gets popularized, whereas spoons have been around since prehistoric times.
How do you feel about chopsticks?
Love them. Oh, that's I eat spaghetti with chopsticks at home.
Really?
I love slurping noodles with chopsticks.
There's a great Seinfeld bit about chopsticks and forks where he's like, well, it's really impressive that the Japanese, they're sticking with it. They're not out there. They're not out. What does he say? It's like they're not out in the fields picking up hay with two pool cues. You know, they've seen the pitchfork. They know it exists. That's very interesting. But also, I feel like in a cleanliness sense, forks are important.
Explain.
Well, I mean, I wash my hands, but if I'm using my hand to like pick up like, so knives are still in the game, right?
Yeah.
So if I've got a steak, I'm holding down one side of the steak with my hand, and then I'm cutting with the knife, and then I'm eating with my hand. Yes?
All steaks, I believe, should be pre-cut by a chef. And if you look outside of the Western canon of cuisine, like you would never go to every culture, right, eats steak. But I feel like America or a lot of Western European countries are the only cultures that eat a steak, if that makes sense. You go to a bistro, you get steak au poivre, but like you go to a Sichuan restaurant and you order some sort of beef there that could reasonably be called a steak. It's not coming as a whole, you know, fillet. Like you should, I believe the knife work should be done in the kitchen because, I mean, Tyler, you can attest, you cut a steak the wrong way. You know, you got to slice against the grain. The eating process is worse. I want an expert to do that.
Well, I think there's beef and then there's a steak, right? So I think a lot of restaurants you go to where it's like thin slice and kind of folded into a curry or, you know, or a stir fry, whatever it is. I mean, that's top sirloin. It's not anything that you would like dry age or grill medium rare. Those things have to be sliced and either, you know, cooked quickly or simmered for a very, very long period of time and braised. I think the only steak that you should not cut is a filet mignon because I think the presentation is beautiful by itself, but everything else, New York, porterhouse, tomahawk, ribeye, yada, yada, all that stuff gets sliced in the kitchen. I agree with you.
Well, so two quick counters to this one. Also, hi, I'm Josh. I know you already heard the intro, but I love that we just hit the ground running on this. Two quick counters to that. Two great international filet mignon dishes, in Persian cuisine. It's called barg. And they are barg sultani. They skewer the filet and then it's in nice large chunks so you can still get some of that medium rare quality to it. And then it's cooked over the ambient heat of the coals, already cut for you, bite-sized pieces. Love it. And then in Vietnamese cuisine, you have ba luc lac, which means shaking beef. Simple thing, nice big chunks, still medium rare, tons of aromatics in it, all the knife work done for you.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just think, like, because, you know, I'm in the steak business, I have a steak restaurant. I just think the presentation of that is just so, it's so pretty. Like, you don't want to mess with that. Because it's not unruly. Like a big, you know, like 18-ounce bone-in New York strip. Like, that doesn't look, I mean, it looks pretty uncut because sometimes we'll get requests for people who don't want it cut, but it looks really elegant. It's just, I think, a sign of professionalism when we can take it off the bone for you.
I do agree with that. I'm in like my steakhouse renaissance. I casually mentioned to a friend that I don't love American steakhouses. And then they were like, we got to go to Musso and Frank in Hollywood. And I was utterly a changed man. I actually went on Friday night and I got the 10-ounce filet. I feel like filet is maligned right now. I feel like for the first time ever, I actually found this data. Ribeye has passed filet in terms of Americans' favorite steak. And I always bought into that. Like, to me, filet was the steak of my father, right? Grew up in the Reagan era. He was like, this is the fanciest Gordon Gekko steak you can get to celebrate. And then I grew up in this like cool gastropub era where they're like, fat is flavor. And I ate ribeyes and I went back to filet, man. And I love it. I will not apologize for it.
They don't, man. No one's asking you to. I think one of the big light bulb moments I had as a kid was the first time I tasted a filet mignon wrapped in bacon.
Mm.
That's just one of the greatest things in the world. There's nothing a whole lot better in the steak business than that. That's just great.
Yeah, but what makes that good is because there's finally some fat in that protein, which is what a ribeye is.
Totally. So listen, there's Piemontese like beef, which is like designed to be really incredibly lean. And a lot of people like that from a health perspective, but you know, fat is flavor when it comes to beef, and you can get a really good filet mignon that has intramuscular fat development. We definitely source them out. I mean, it's like, you know, prime grass fed, grain finished. Our filets are from two ranches up in Butte County in California, and they're just bomb. They're so good. It's got like a 21-day dry age on top of it because it's a little concentrated, but the fat still pops out. It's full, really good beefy flavor. And then we broil it. I've got these two $30,000 Montague broilers that, you know, the infrared heat gets up to about 1,000 degrees. So you get that Maillard melt where it's just like the protein and the amino acids kind of melt, make that kind of crispy crunch. So you get yet another texture on top of that, not just the great flavor, but just the texture of that snap, bacony snap on the outside of the beef. And then you kind of melt into that. And this is, do I love beef? I freaking love beef. And
he's got no beef with beef.
I got no beef with beef. And honestly, I eat it most days. But when I get to the restaurant around like 4:30, steak tartare on the pass, kind of getting ready while I'm catching up with the executive chef on what the reservations look like tonight, snarf that down with some potato chips. I'm done in like 5 minutes. It's just so good, man. It's so good.
You're getting me all worked up, man. I want to go to your steakhouse.
Welcome to the beef episode.
You got to go to Miller and Lux. It is one of the best restaurants I've ever been to in my entire life. And they're all over the place now. If you're in Hawaii, I could do your advertising, Tyler, by the way. If you're in Hawaii, Hawaii, you can go to Miller and Lux. If you're in San Francisco and want to catch a game and see the Golden State Warriors play, you can go to Miller and Lux. And Tyler Florence will come to your table and make you a Caesar salad right there and then. And then he'll get you drunk afterwards when it closes. That was only with me, actually. But it could be with you as well.
Could be with you. Could be with
I want to be hand-fed steak tartare and potato chips. That's the experience on the path.
Let's go.
Josh, I wanted to talk to you about, I mean, we'll get into the cookbook. But I do want to talk about Last Meals because I think it's such a genius idea. You've had such amazing, iconic guests on there, like, you know, Tom Hanks, Post Malone. I saw Jason Kelsey, who's everywhere right now.
Bert Kreischer. That was fun.
Yeah, Bert's the best. Okay, maybe two-part question. Who has been your favorite guest on the show? And then also, what is your favorite answer to this question?
Oh, that's interesting. Favorite guest, it's really tough to beat Jason Kelsey. I'm just a lifelong Eagles fan. My family's from Allentown, Pennsylvania. So I grew up in that Donovan McNabb era, you know, making the NFC championship game every single year. And then I've watched Jason Kelsey's entire career since he was drafted. And like undersized underdog, represents Philly as a whole. 2017 Super Bowl, putting on the Mummers outfit, just, you know, yelling to the crowd. Unbelievable. And then
That's Taylor Swift's boyfriend's brother, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the correct lineage. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Understood. Okay. I know you're talking about that.
Yeah. In the celebrity tree of things, that is correct.
Okay.
when he came on, he, you know, he's from Cleveland Heights, went to school in Cincy, but he's become such like an emblem of Philly. So many of his items were Philly staples, like Stock's Pound Cake, Cabanosa from Suiaki Meats, D'Alessandro's Cheesesteak. None of those places delivered. And sometimes when we get a request from a guest, it's like, well, we can make our own approximation. But I was like, no. I'm calling friends in Philly. My buddy actually took, he's a dentist. So it's not like, you know, it worked at a Kinko's. He took off a day at work. I hope nobody had a root canal emergency, to drive around Philly, put cheesesteaks and cured meats on dry ice and ship it out to us. And then Kels was incredible. And then afterwards he goes, hey man, I got a red eye flight out tonight and I could use something to put me to sleep. You want to go drinking? And it's like 4:15 p.m. on a Friday. And I was like, hey, everybody, I can't help rap out today. I got to go drink with Kels.
Yeah.
Took him to a tiki bar and I watched him drink an entire fish bowl meant for six people. Like, he's like a Paul
kind of guy. Yeah. Just like excess is barely enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sure he was totally fine too. Whereas like you and I have like four Manhattans and all of a sudden we can't, you know, spell our name.
Yeah. I have two glasses of wine and I'm on a spear quest.
Yeah. Okay. So Kels is your favorite guest. Mm. What's been your favorite answer to the question, like last meal?
Man, so we actually have a shoot coming up tomorrow. So it hasn't aired yet. Hopefully by the time this comes out, it'll air. Even if it hasn't, it's fine. But it's a YouTuber. His name is MatPat. He got, 40 million subscribers across his channels. He's a legend of the game. He is a very, very nerdy, very academic guy, and he would attest to that. He asked us to give him, quote, a chef's tasting menu where I can learn something, because he loves learning things. He loves experiencing that through food. And so, you know, we get to now design this sort of omakase, and we didn't know what to do exactly with it because it was such open parameters, but he loves crispy tacos from Taco Bell. And so Glenn Bell, founder of Taco Bell, effectively steals the crispy taco recipe from a place called Meat La Cafe in San Bernardino, California, which is a very specific regional recipe for tacos dorados de barbacoa from Jalisco, Mexico. So you can track the sort of lineage of the crispy taco. Yeah. So we're making him like a six-course tasting menu of actual authentic crispy tacos from Mexico.
Isn't that everywhere? Like the Colonel did not fry up that chicken. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Colonel's not frying chicken with 11 herbs and spices. You know what I mean? He was like, yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, no, the 100%. Fast food industry especially is just rife with that. Chipotle was founded by a dude named Steve, you know, tough to sell.
Right. Exactly.
So maybe it is pronounced Chipotle. My mom was right the entire time.
Chipotle. This is funny.
The white rice should have been a giveaway.
Oh my gosh. The white rice. Exactly.
Okay. So that's fascinating. I didn't know that, like the original, Bell of Taco Bell was in Jalisco. I want to do this for our show. Josh, what is your last meal?
Obviously, I've thought about this a fair amount. I don't have it fully fleshed out, but I got a couple of things. First, just like the best shrimp cocktail you've ever had. That was the fanciest food in the world growing up for me. And, you know, we didn't grow up with money. So anytime we were at, you know, a cousin's wedding and there was cocktail shrimp out there, I just stuffed my face. If we're at an all-you-can-eat buffet, I ate at least a pound of shrimp before I even started my meal.
Me too, bro. Me too. If there's a big ice luge, right, that's got shrimp all over it, dude, I pile it up high, bro.
You got it. Probably some reclade and some caviar too.
Maybe 10 shrimp and a cup of cocktail sauce.
Mm-hmm. It's the shrimp is a vehicle for the cocktail sauce at some point.
Totally.
Yes.
But the main course, my favorite food of all time, is a San Diego style carne asada burrito. So it's just carne asada, pico, guac, some sort of processed-ish white cheese, just like a normal Monterey Jack, in the translucent flour tortilla. You have to be able to see the green and the brown through the tortilla, mm-hmm. and then you load it up with chili de arbol hot sauce. I would want that, but then I would want like a toothpaste tube full of foie gras torchon that I could squeeze onto the bites of the carne asada burrito.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. And then like a gallon of michelada, like just a big bowl.
You don't want the tiki bowl of rum booze that Kels drank?
Just can you imagine that hangover? That pounding.
It's your last meal. There is no hangover.
Yeah, who cares? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It had this particular tiki bar in their giant fish bowl. There's a little pyre in the middle that they put 151 in and then they blowtorch it. And you're supposed to, in theory, blow it out. And Kels just stuck a straw right into the fire and drank it.
If it wasn't my last meal, I would want it to be. With the, I'm sure that that's a 6-day hangover. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's all sugar.
All sugar. Oh, my gosh.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, is that it, or is there a dessert in there?
Dessert? I've never been a big sweets guy. I'm trying to think of like the best dessert that I've ever had. I love mochi. You know what I would want? Have you ever seen mochi being made fresh?
Not me.
They pound it?
It looks like, I mean, it's almost cartoonish. It's a giant wooden mallet in a giant wooden bowl. I would want to have two expert mochi makers come out, pound the mochi fresh as I can just scoop out of it, dip it in some red bean, and eat it. That's my ideal dessert.
I've seen that, and it always terrifies me that someone's going to get like a hand hit or something. Like there's going to be some sort of, you know, big
it looks
emergency.
Like a knife game where you got to sharpen your fingers, and so someone's going to get that wooden sledgehammer.
Get a gallon of michelada in me. I'll play the knife game during my last meal. Let's do it.
All right, Tyler, have you thought about your last meal?
You know, I was in a book called My Last Supper, and Melanie Dune, who's an amazing photographer, did it with everybody. And I'm on my desk right now. I think I was just looking not too long ago, and everybody, because this was like, gosh, early 2000s, like Bourdain's in it and blah, blah, blah. And then I wrote this whole interesting story because it's not just about the food, but it's about the place too, right?
Yep.
There's a couple of restaurants on planet Earth that I think that are just the epicenter of the universe. And Balthazar in New York City in Soho happens to be one of them. So I would want to eat like fried chicken from my youth. I'd want to like maybe the first thing I taste to be the last thing I taste, but I'd want to be in someplace really special. So I'd want to eat fried chicken, my grandmother's fried chicken at Balthazar in New York. And just like spectacular French white burgundy on top of that.
Ooh. Damn. All right. That sounds good. I like that.
That sense of place is really interesting. And that's something I hadn't thought about. And also, I grew up in Southern California my whole life. I used to write about the restaurant industry in LA. I thought I knew what vibes in a restaurant were until I went to New York City. And this is actually a couple of weeks ago. I went to Minetta Tavern for the first time, like an 11 p.m. dinner at Minetta. Yeah,
and it's packed.
Packed. It's cold outside. Everybody's got the overcoats on. You come in from out of the cold, big velvet red curtain, pull it aside. And it's like an Alice in Wonderland moment. You open
right
it
on McDougal Street. Yeah.
And the food is incredible. Like, what a restaurant.
I just took my kids there because we had this thing to go do in New York, and it just felt like a good sneaky getaway to take my 16-year-old son and my 15-year-old daughter, just like on a, you know, father kid trip to New York. And we went to go see Hamilton, which that I haven't seen. And then I took them to a very adult, because they're right at that age where they're a good hang. Like, they're right at that age where they don't need their cell phone to get through an entire dinner. They can actually have conversations about whatever's on top of your head. And they're just fun to go hang out with. So we had an 11:15 after the show wrapped. We had an 11:15 reservation at Minetta Tavern on McDougal Street in the Greenwich Village in New York City. And as we're pulling up, because my 15-year-old daughter is kind of in this Bob Dylan kick right now. And Cafe Wa, which is right next door, is where Bob Dylan got his start in New York City. And it's still open and it's still there. And I was explaining to her how significant this block is to like American music and Bob Dylan specifically. And she was like, what? I'm like, this is where it all went down, right here. And that's what I love about New York. But Keith McNally, who owns both Balthazar and Minetta Tavern, is a dear, dear friend. And he is one of my mentors and my sage when it comes to building vibe in a restaurant. Because I think it's three things. The room has to be special and it has to be a movie set. It's got to whisk you away to someplace cool, right? The food has to be on point, has to be best in category, best in class, and casual and relaxed all at the same time. And then the service has to be just unbelievably stealthy and efficient. And I think if you can get those three things right, I think you got a great restaurant. But nobody does it better than Keith McNally. Nobody.
Man,
Have either of you ever been to Post Ranch Inn in Big Sur?
Mm-mm. I'm dying to go. Bro, speaking of that, did you see that there's a huge Highway 1 in California?
Yeah, it's eroding right now. It's going to be closed for a while.
Oh God, that place. It happens like, I think every other year there's like a fire or a mudslide or something.
Yeah.
That off from the rest of California.
Well, anyways, I grew up in Carmel. So Big Sur was like my place. And it was interesting for you to say like locale is very important to go alongside the actual last thing you're going to eat. I would say there's the restaurant at Post Ranch Inn, which if you ever have a chance, go to this place. It's absolutely beautiful. It's just on a cliff looking down the Pacific Ocean. There's a restaurant there called Sierra Mar. It's like a Michelin, whatever. It's expensive as all get out. But Old Fashioned, Kaluga, Oro Cetra, Caviar, Sun Go Down. Mm-hmm. I'm good just going out that way. I don't need anything else.
How much
just to have all? It's my last time, so all of it. I want whatever they've got in the back.
And another 10. I want all of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go out, drive back into Carmel, get some more caviar. And
go kill another
here.
Sturgeon. I want that one.
I want to squeeze it out fresh. Just let me squeeze it
right in my mouth. Right in my mouth.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Josh, we're running out of time with you, but we do want to talk about the Mythical Cookbook, 10 Simple Rules for Cooking Deliciously, Eating Happily, and Living Mythically. It just recently came out, right? Like the 10th of March? Am I wrong, right about that?
I'm around there. It's been a whole blur, man.
Tell us all about this cookbook, how it came about, what people can expect when they get it, because it looks so fun and it looks so interesting. It looks so delicious.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I work for a company called Mythical Entertainment. They make a show called Good Mythical Morning. It is the most watched daily show on the internet. And it was never a cooking show, but food was always a big part of it. They would do weird little food experiments. Experimentation is a really big part of the show. And so they brought me in about 6 years ago to sort of actually add some culinary expertise here. And I'd always been doing weird food experiments at home. Like, what happens if you freeze a Chipotle burrito, cut it into medallions, deep fry it, and use that as the base of Eggs Benedict is a thing I did. Easter happened to fall on 420 one year, which was very convenient for me. But anyways, I came and brought that level of culinary expertise here, and we've basically taken the best recipes from 3,000 episodes of Good Mythical Morning, from, you know, 500 episodes of Mythical Kitchen, and just compiled them into one cookbook. Tons of really funny stories in there. I really go stream of consciousness on the writing. So somehow we ended up with a fully animated children's story in there about the founder of the company, Link's terrible breakfast smoothie that makes me depressed. Mm-hmm. We have a whole treatise on why we need to start turning penguins into bacon. Mm. If you can make duck bacon with the fat cap, you can make penguin bacon. If we're going to keep eroding the ice caps,
I would eat that.
Let's get a food source. And so, but tons of fun recipes that are delicious, easy to make at home. We have like a recipe for orange chicken parmesan, which is, we kind of took the two most popular fried chicken immigrant Americanized dishes and we just smashed them together with chicken parmesan and orange chicken. And so we did like this sweet agrodolce tomato sauce. And then we throw like cherry tomatoes, basil, mozzarella on it, you know, blast that in the broiler. And it kind of almost eats like this. There's a big trend in Korean food of putting mozzarella on like sweet fried chicken. Mm-hmm. And it eats like that. And it's this dish that we were all like, this is so stupid, but we have to make it and see how it turns out. And it is utterly delicious. And the whole book's filled with recipes like that.
That's great, man.
I saw a bunch of these recipes that really kind of like jumped out at me. Can you tell me about animal style mac and cheese? Because I like all those things. All of those words put together make me feel very happy.
Animal style mac and cheese came about because, again, we're like all from Southern California.
Smoking weed, 420.
Yeah, dude. It. I mean, I was going to throw that in there too. It's starting to track now. I get it.
Hey, listen, I told you I grew up in Big Sur. I'm with you.
We're not explicit about it.
It's a mythical 2 a.m.
People know the deal, man. People know the deal.
Right.
In and out, right? Great burgers, love them to death. I cannot defend their fries. I don't know many people who can. But the animal style combo of American cheese, caramelized onions, and Thousand Island is a winner. So we were like, what base can we use instead of fries? And we're like, well, mac and cheese, you get the carbs and get some crispiness. Mm-hmm. We did a little like potato chip breadcrumb as an homage to the potatoes. And it's stupid delicious. We did our cookbook launch party at Major Domo, which is a David Chang restaurant. You know, their executive chefs have cooked with the best of the best. And they ended up making animal style mac and cheese as like a past appetizer. And I was kind of worried, like, yo, are they going to judge me for this recipe? And they were like, this is so damn delicious.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
That's the right audience for that too. That's great. I love that. So In-N-Out fries. Yeah, I'm with you. Because they're good for like 3 seconds when they're just fried, right? Mm-hmm. But then do you order them well done? I get them well done. If you get them well done, they're actually crispy. You like that?
To me, it's like you're just fighting against a current, man. It's like at some point you just got to give in. Whatever they give you, they give you. Well done to me, you get. I love that you're fighting the good fight, but to me, then you just miss any potato. They end up like those Brazilian matchstick potatoes that you get on burgers.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
It's not bad, but
yeah,
In-N-Out, they fry the fries once. They cut potatoes, they drop them right into the fryer in front of your eyes. They want to show you that it's fresh.
Mm-hmm.
However, freezing French fries is a very good culinary technique.
Totally.
You get them to be the best. So it's like in an effort to show you it's fresh, they make a worse product. I get the paradox there.
Okay. Yeah. So why don't they just slice the potatoes and then show us putting them into a freezer?
They have no freezers on site. In-N-Out. None.
Yeah. Always fresh, never frozen. Always fresh, never frozen, man. Okay. Real fast. In-N-Out versus Shake Shack.
In-N-Out, hands down. In-N-Out, I will say it's an unfair fight. In-N-Out was started in like 1956. Shake Shack started in like the 90s. You know, like they're not contemporaries. I get why they're pitted against each other. They're not even at the same price point. Like In-N-Out's a contemporary of McDonald's, you know?
Yeah.
It is a lot cheaper. That's one thing that you don't realize, but like a burger is like only a couple bucks in comparison when you go to like McDonald's or even, you know, Burger King. It's a lot more expensive than In-N-Out.
That said, Shake Shack will sell me a beer at the JFK airport and In-N-Out will not.
Well,
so I like
not Shake yet.
Shack. Yeah. That's not apples for apples. But I got to tell you, In-N-Out burger all day long.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything better. And how many patties do you get? You got to go two. I go three.
You go three?
I go three by.
Solamente uno.
You get one. Bro.
I will eat multiple sandwiches. There is something about their patties are an eighth of a pound. They are small. They're minuscule. I get two different types of onions. I get whole grilled and I get grilled. I get chopped chilies on there. It's almost a hand salad at that point, which, Wells, we got to figure out what the hand salad is in terms of the...
Yeah, well, if you order the cheeseburger...
protein style.
Protein style? That is a salad, my friend. You're just holding it.
You're just holding it, bro. You're holding the hot salad. I do that.
Just a ball of bacteria.
I get the three by. I get the three by with onions, right? And I usually get it protein style because I did, for some crazy reason, I think I'm doing something good for myself. I get it wrapped in lettuce, and even that crunch, that wet crunch, it's a nice texture. Like you get it kind of all over your fingers and stuff, but it's not a horrible mess.
And other fast food restaurants don't have lettuce like that. Like even Shake Shack, they put the single leaf of green leaf on there.
Yeah, leafy lettuce. It's not
under the burger.
It's not an iceberg, bro. You got to go iceberg.
Iceberg.
Yeah, totally.
Josh, thank you so much for coming on Two Dudes in a Kitchen. You have definitely been the most interesting guest we've had in a very, very long time. You have a lot of hot takes. I feel like you came firing right out the gate. I love it so much. The Mythical Cookbook, 10 Simple Rules for Cooking Deliciously, Eating Happily, and Living Mythically is out now. You're doing a lot. So before you go, tell everyone where they can see you, where they can find you, where they can listen to you, all that stuff.
Yeah, man. Check out A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, our podcast, wherever you get podcasts. Mythical Kitchen on YouTube. We're also Mythical Kitchen on TikTok, all the other platforms. But Last Meals right now is my absolute baby. It's the favorite thing I do. So go check out those episodes.
Congratulations on the new book, my friend. This is your first one, right?
Actually, second. The first one is how I got this job. I got a literary agent in college. And so it's pretty embarrassing looking back on that one. But go buy that book too if anybody wants to
see all my college
stories. Yeah.
Like Pokemon, get them all.
Exactly.
He needs money, everybody. He has to buy a bunch of shrimp cocktails.
I want a whole sturgeon so I can squeeze its eggs into my mouth.
That's right.
I'm not on that train now.
Dude, well, you want something crazy? I'm doing that. A friend of mine, Michael Passmore, it's like, because we always try to time the season because he raises sturgeon up in the Sacramento Delta. And he's like, I got a fatty. Are you ready to come on up? And we go ride motorcycles and stuff together. So we're ready to go. Like,
is he talking about sturgeons or is he talking about smoking something?
Well, he's talking about sturgeon, but it might be on 420 because if we time it right. But yeah, I mean, I'm totally into that. So because we have a custom caviar for Miller and Lux restaurant. God, I love caviar. Mm. Yeah.
Same. Send me the invite, man. I'm a good hang. I'm almost as cool as your kids.
probably a little cooler.
Last thing, if we do turn this penguin idea into bacon, I came up with a name, Happy Meat. Happy Feet? Happy Meat.
I want to apologize to the entire penguin community out there.
Yeah. Happy Meat. Happy Feet, Happy Meat. Yeah, there's bacon. Something there. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Give me 10% of royalties. We'll go net profit, not gross. I'm a reasonable man. That's all right.
I like that.
Yeah, like that.
And for those reasons, I'm in. Josh, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it. This was a lot of fun, man.
Of course, dude. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. See you, bud.
Take care, man.
Cheers.
Well, he was awesome.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. There's a whole like younger generation of mixed media culinary professionals that are taking a very, very different route, but it's the route that kind of fits the millennial Gen Z generation, right?
For sure.
And so with me growing up, it was like, you know, I started cooking before there was Food Network. And then this is my 27th year on Food Network. And then now like Food Network is not even the only game in the world anymore. As a matter of fact, it's, if you really want to break out, you don't go Food Network, you go YouTube.
Totally.
Right.
I know.
I mean, because there's just a bigger, wider audience and you don't have to ask permission and you can, you know, your seasons can be as long as you want. You can kind of set up your own avenue stream or your revenue ad stream. So I think it's just so fascinating to watch these kids blow up. I mean, those numbers on YouTube, like that's real business. That's real money. Those guys are killing it.
I know, which I have said this before. I think we should start a YouTube show because
I think we should. So we can,
I like money too.
And let's, who doesn't like money? And and we can start cooking, right? Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I just need to, I'll just fly up there. We'll do a couple episodes.
We'll bank them.
It'd be perfect.
Yeah, we'll bank him.
He was awesome. I really do love someone who, one, he knows a lot about cooking, but he also is, you could tell he's very, very smart. Like he had a bunch of thoughts he got through very, very quickly. So anyways, big thanks to Josh for coming on the show. That was very, very cool.
Super cool.
All right, we're out of here. We'll be back next week.
See everybody.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at @2dudesinakitchen. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars.
We'll take that. And we'll see you guys next time.
See you next time.
Oh, hi. I'm Rachel Zoe. And my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever.
You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.